This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate overnight passing $9 billion in spending cuts President Trump wanted, including deep reductions to foreign aid, as well as funding for NPR and PBS. New Jersey Democratic Senator Andy Kim on the floor before the vote.
Public broadcasting has educated and informed and inspired generations, teaching important lessons to people of all ages and sharing powerful stories, including of our nation's veterans.
Missouri Republican Senator Eric Schmidt also before the vote.
We are on the precipice in this chamber right now to do something that is rarely done in this town, which is to identify waste, fraud, and abuse and actually do something about it.
President Trump continuing to lash out at his supporters and Democrats who continue calling for all of the Jeffrey Epstein files to be released. The president calling them stupid people. A Catholic church in Gaza shelled overnight. Two priests and five other people hurt. Pope Francis had called that church nightly before he died. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. When the warm weather hits, our natural reaction is to shed the layers and get outside. But more exposed skin outdoors can raise the risk of hives, rashes, and other mysterious bumps. Melissa Kay reports.
Dr. Elizabeth Ender is an allergist at Aspirus St. Luke's. She said being aware, trying to understand what's triggering the symptoms and allergic reactions, is key to proper treatment and prevention.
The most important tool we have really is the history that we get. So it can be extremely helpful to have people keep a diary, a journal of symptoms that they're noticing and kind of the timeline of those symptoms.
Dr. Ender said to keep track of when symptoms happen. For instance, do they start as soon as you go out of doors or when you're in a dusty barn? Do symptoms happen around certain animals? She said having this history can really help diagnose what's triggering your allergic reactions. There are some seasonal allergies people don't even realize they have until they seek treatment.
The most common ones that I see tend to be people that have like grass allergy that come into contact with pollinating grass and then get like hives all over their feet or legs.
And kids can experience intense swelling or irritation from bug bites.
There is something called Skeeter syndrome that kids can get where they have just severe reactions to mosquito bites. Again, that usually improves over the summer as they get more mosquito bites and tends to fade away as people get older.
While some reactions can be treated with over-the-counter or home remedies, Dr. Ender said some symptoms should never be ignored.
They develop hives and then also start to notice breathing problems, or they are noticing throat swelling, fainting, something like that in association with the hives, then they should be seen promptly.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
An update on the Brewers' Sal Frelick. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers head to L.A. to play the Dodgers tomorrow night, but their starting right fielder and leadoff batter, Sal Frelick, may not be able to play. An MRI showed Frelick suffered a minor hamstring injury Sunday against the Nationals, but for now, he's day-to-day. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Hurt my heart, you know, like he's such a key cog in this whole thing. That just ruined my day.
NBA, the Bucks have re-signed backup center Chris Livingston to a one-year deal worth $2 million. That comes after losing Brook Lopez to the Clippers following seven seasons in Milwaukee.
You know, free agency came. Everything happened pretty fast, but looking at my options, I was just thrilled the Clippers reached out. They've been a great team quite a while now, you know, and there's just, you know, a great chance to win a championship here.
The Bucks lost to the Bulls last night 102-98 to close out their summer league schedule. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Calmer today after a wet and stormy Wednesday. Increasing sunshine, cooler and less humid, a high of 73. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny on Friday, beautiful with a high of 76. Right now, it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. If you're an artisan or ever wondered about Northern Wisconsin art, you'll want to tune in. We'll be at an artisan studio in Butternut, live on location. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, July 17th, 2025. It's a busy weekend. I mean, last hour we talked about, you know, Country Jam here in Eau Claire, Bastille Days in the Milwaukee area, the Hayward Lumberjack Festival. I listed all the various county fairs that are going on as well. And we're still not done. Robin Tigerton reminds us that Pulaski Polka Days is starting. Roger on Facebook tells us the Portage County Fair begins today. Alicia says it's Paper Fest this weekend in Kimberly. So there's just a lot to do here. Rob goes on to say good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 54, got 0.9 inches of rain. Severe weather was mostly south of me. Watoma had more than 3.5 inches. Highway 21 was flooded on the east side. He says, I have an eye appointment today in Wittenberg, probably a candidate to wear glasses, and then 3 yards to mow in the Tigerton area this afternoon. He says, I think the meteorologists like Brittany and all in the media did an excellent job with severe weather coverage. It brings back memories of tracking storms on my road maps when I was a kid. Let's see. And he goes on to talk about Nicolette Larson being an awesome singer, also with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And he says, have a fun time, Brittany, at EAA. I hope and pray you have nice weather there. And that takes me over to, oh, wait a minute. We've got Alicia saying, my oldest and I are going to the EAA schedule last night, planning our days. Air Venture is almost here. And on the text line, Jim in Brookfield, have a great time at EAA next week, Brittany. I hope the weather cooperates. I remember flying there from the Waukesha Airport in a four-seater Piper with all the spotters on the ground communicating with us along our flight path. We never had to say a word on the radio until we landed. This is contagious stuff, the way that people feel about Air Venture, and count Brittany among them.
I am definitely one of those. I had no idea what it was the first year that I went, and all it took was one day, and I was hooked, honestly. I'll suggest, if you want to go on a day and you're wondering which one, because there's just so many, Wednesday and Saturday, they have a night air show, and it is one of the biggest that I have ever seen. And they've got the drones doing their things. They have a special ending with some explosions. It's amazing.
The good kind.
Yes, the good kind, the planned kind.
Yes.
So it is just a super fun time. Lots of people, good people. You'll learn so much. The technology that goes on with these airplanes is outrageous, and it goes beyond that too. So I'm so excited. Camping is going to be so much fun. Just the fact that I have no power, though, is going to be very, very interesting. This is dry camping.
You really rough it for this.
Every single one of us, there's only a few power sites, so we're out there for the good.
So Brittany will be off tomorrow getting ready for that. Hopefully we'll be able to hear from you at a couple of points along the way next week as you enjoy it all. And before we get into today's weather, just letting folks know that Corrine Hendrickson is standing by. We'll talk to her in just a couple of moments. State Senator Jeff Smith at the bottom of the hour. But as mentioned by Robin Tigerton, y'all were busy yesterday tracking something like, what, 10 or 12 different possible tornadic systems out there. What's the report by the time we get to this morning, looking back at yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday was wild. It started earlier than we had thought. Right around noon in Dodgeville, we saw a funnel cloud and a tornado touchdown that continued into Sauk City, Fall River, Beaver Dam, Fox Lake area, into Fond du Lac, even funnel clouds being reported. And that was around 3:30 in the afternoon, also into Hustisford, Lemonwire. Many, many places dealing with a possible tornado that touched down there. Lots of video, lots of pictures out there of proof. Also, winds clocked 50 to 60 miles per hour, knocking down trees scattered throughout the southern half of the state. And then flooding towards the Fox Valley. Onalaska got 1.63 inches in 1 hour. Just 1 hour. So from La Crosse to the Fox Valley, a good 2.5 to 3.5 inches were reported there. Madison area, about 1 inch to 1.5 inches. But Wautoma, cars were reported stalled with water over the hoods. Highway 21 was impassable between Coloma and Wautoma. And also Nina, creeks were overflowing, water going into backyards and basements. Same thing into Oshkosh. The EAA grounds are flooded, but they have really good draining systems. But Fond du Lac, Stockbridge, Manitowoc, all flooding situations there. We're drying things out today. Thank goodness. We need it. Fog still in places like Hayward and Ashland. It's about 41 degrees up north, 64 degrees into Racine. It feels like fall. That's going to be the case today. Very crisp, upper 60s to low 70s. Lots of sunshine. And we are looking at tall waves on Lake Michigan. So a beach hazard statement out there. Be careful of rip currents. Otherwise, tomorrow, another little system wants to start bringing rain possible far, far north tomorrow afternoon. And then that line could build and swing south through the state as we go through the late afternoon. Otherwise, a little bit of rain chance does linger, maybe mostly south on Saturday. Sunday, we are looking at a little bit of rain possible south, but northern parts of the state, we're dry all weekend and we're a little bit warmer, upper 70s to low 80s.
All right. Well, Brittany, have a great early start to the weekend. Wonderful time setting up at EAA. And
thank you.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to check in with you a couple of times here.
I can't wait. Talk to you guys then.
All right. Sounds good. Let's visit now with Corrine Hendrickson. We've talked to her several times before about the crisis of affordable child care in Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers tried to, well, he first did use a lot of federal pandemic relief funding to help keep the child care industry from collapsing. He also proposed something in the state budget, but the resulting deal between Evers and Republicans in the legislature fell short in some areas, for example, childcare. And in our next half hour, we'll talk to State Senator Jeff Smith about where the budget fell short in terms of homeless care for veterans. But let's stick to childcare now and bring Corrine in right now, because Corrine says she finds herself at a professional crossroads, essentially, as a result of what is and what is not in the final state budget. Corrine Hendrickson, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm all right. I'm enjoying the cooler weather.
Yes, it's definitely a big relief compared to, you know, feeling like the mid-90s or triple digits or anything like that, especially if you're watching a bunch of kiddos all day.
So. Yeah, we're outside. We're at the park for swimming lessons, and it's been hot. So today, now, those poor kids are going to freeze when they're in their
Yes. lessons. Well, look, it is mostly thankless work. Thankfully, there are enough other parents and folks in the public who are becoming increasingly aware of, you know, the value of this industry and how it is in real crisis right now. But you talked to us, you know, last week about the state budget bill and, you know, how it only provides 1 year of partial relief compared to the governor's original proposal. So now you've had a chance to evaluate things further. And so you were nice enough to come back after having thoroughly reviewed things to tell us what you think it all means for, you know, child care on the whole in Wisconsin and what it means for you personally.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. What it means for all of us in childcare and the families that we care for and educate and their employers who have those parents employed, is it's still going to be a disaster. Cindy, who's up in Green Bay, is one of our WeCan members, and they're calling this program a bridge. First off, it's a bridge to where? To nowhere. But she actually said it's a plank in a pond payment, because it's not a bridge. It's just one lonely board floating in uncertainty. And that really hit, because it's not what Governor Evers is saying. He keeps saying in these press releases that, you know, this is going to make childcare more affordable. It's not. We are raising our rates. I sat down and did my math. And in order for me not to take a $15,000 pay cut due to ages and the loss of 20% a month, I had to raise my rate $60 a week, which would be $350 for children under two and $320 for two and up. And in New Glarus, it's not tenable. I've lost three children so far due to rates. Two of them were on subsidy. And so last year I struggled to fill my three spots, and it was September. I was starting to think I might have to close, and I couldn't do it again. So I talked to my parents this last week, let them know that I will not be able to morally try to stay open and try to fill three spots with parents that I'm like, yeah, if I'm still open, you can have a spot. How do I do that to them? How do I do that to their employers? They think they have a spot, but they're not sure. They're going to keep looking, as they should. And so I made the difficult decision that August 29th is my last day. I was able to get the kids that I have here into another group center, because at that time, that's when they have turnover and that's when they have openings. So my four kids are probably going to stay together and they're going to be able to go there. But I am now trying to figure out what I'm going to do. One of my kids on Monday, she looked at me, she goes, Corrine, why don't you get to be a teacher anymore? And that just about broke my heart, because that's what I do. And then another parent asked me, they're like, oh, we're all going to the same place. And then they're like, what are you going to do? And I said, you know what? I haven't figured that out yet. So that's the way that all of us in this field work. We think about the children and families, and then we think about ourselves. And so now I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do next.
I my heart is breaking for you and for these kids and for these families. And it's not just you. You're not the only provider who's looking at this.
It's all of us.
And making a rather difficult decision. And look, even if there's follow-up legislation, because we talked about how the funding is really only there for 1 year. But as you've mentioned before, that's a lack of security that you can no longer live with. And who knows how many more are only going to be in business for one more year.
Right. And that's the other thing is all the providers I'm talking to across the state, they're looking at raising their rates $10, $15 a week, maybe more now, to try and keep the teachers they have or the family child care providers. They're looking for second jobs so they can stay open. That is not okay. We work 50 hours with kids already, and then we're supposed to go and work somewhere else so the parents can afford us. That is not okay. And our state should not be making these decisions. If they actually cared about kids, they wouldn't do that. And so, yes, we are still fighting, and I'm not leaving the advocacy world. I actually will have more time, so that could get fun. but we're working on, there's standalone legislation, SB 222 and AB 317. It's the standalone for $480 million to make us whole again. Had we gotten that whole $480 million, I wouldn't have had to raise my rates at all, because it would have covered all of that. And so we're still fighting for that. We're still saying it. And now what we want is our providers, our parents, and our employers to call Governor Evers and call their Dem and Republican representatives and tell them every time, my rates just went up 20 bucks. I just lost an employee because their rates went up. Because that's what it's going to take, is until they see it and feel it, they don't understand. And they don't have the empathy and they don't have the imagination. And that's not okay either. So that's where I'm at.
You've been asked, to consider, I mean, you're already way out there visible on this issue, but to consider, you know, ramping things up further. I've seen this happen with people all the time. You're an advocate for something and people say you should keep being an advocate, maybe on, you know, even an elected level. Is that one of the options?
Yeah, actually, I am one of the now I think we're down to four potential Senate candidates in SD 17, which is Mark Lyons' district. I am thinking about it. I am pursuing a potential run, and I participated in a forum last week and will be participating in more forums throughout the this area of the state that the counties are putting on. And I'm excited that real people are interested in running, because we do need real people who actually have conversations, meaningful conversations and relationships with actual people, instead of staying in their bubble and listening to what all the experts are saying that what is what we need and what we want. And that's how you end up with what we got. There was no transparency. None of us were at the table to say these policies are terrible, they're awful, and do not harm the children. Do not do this to the children. Don't put us in these situations. And for what? A plank in a pond? It's not, you can't run a business that way. And on top of everything that's happening at the federal level, this is only going to just, you know, continue to make us descend into, you know, despair almost. And part of what I like is the hope of working towards something else.
And that's, I don't doubt you'll do that in some way, shape, or form. And please keep in touch on what those plans would be. Corrine Hendrickson, child care provider, soon to be former child care provider in New Glarus. Corrine, thank you. Hope you have a good day.
Thanks.
We appreciate your time so very much. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, State Senator Jeff Smith about something else missing from the state budget bill. That's all coming up live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We talked to Bob McLean. We're hearing about his background, but a special upcoming event at Hillsborough Fireman's Park, our subject today. Bob, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you for inviting.
So let's talk about your celebration coming up. What can you tell us about?
Well, I'll tell you, it started a number of years ago by a man by the name of Rudy Rote, who is a very great organizer and really dedicated to Jesus Christ. And back in the late 90s, he began taking church walks with church congregations. And they were living up in Holman at the time, and they walked around various places in that Holman area, such places as the police station, a healthcare center, grocery stores, American Legion, schools, and library. They just walked around the city at those places praying. And then later on, in 2020, he organized another prayer walk. Had about 15 people with him.
That would have been during the COVID year then.
During the COVID time, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in 2021, he decided he was going to try something new. And he had a celebration for Jesus in Holman. I don't know how many people were involved in that, but he felt that it went pretty well. Then in further in 21, he decided that he would have a prayer walk in his hometown, which is Hillsboro. And he gathered a group of people, about 25 people, that walked around Hillsboro to various places and prayed for the city and for the people. And then in 2022, he decided that maybe we ought to try another celebration for Jesus. And in 2023, we had a celebration for Jesus that was held at the Burr Ridge outside of Hillsboro. And there were about 300 people that came to that. Hmm. It was a time of music, messages, and prayer. And people left that, they felt that it was really one of the highlights of their spiritual life. And so then in 2024, a year ago, he had another prayer walk in Hillsboro. And there were about 50 people that got involved in that. And after that, a group of us began talking about what might happen if we had another celebration for Jesus somewhere in Hillsboro. Well, if you're familiar with Hillsboro at all, there is the Fireman's Park, and that's where every fall they have tractor pulls. This is a national tractor pull area. And well, they developed a big hall, I will call it, so that they could take care of the people that came into the tractor pull. And Rudy went to the head of the fire department there in Hillsboro and asked if it's possible that we could get into that big building, which could probably hold close to 1,000 people if everyone was there. And the head of the fire department said, I think we can do that. And so we've been working for the past year to get things ready for this celebration for Jesus on the 25th of July. Not very far away now.
It's getting there, yeah. So your year-long work is starting to kind of come down to the end, isn't it?
Yeah. And so we've gotten things pretty well in order now for this meeting on the 25th of July. We've done a lot of preparations. There are banners going up around and posters and so on. And I was pleased to be able to go back to the radio station where I worked in Reedsburg and talk with Greg Walters. And he did an interview for me. And then I said, I think I want to go to RCO.
There you go.
Yeah, I get my numbers and letters all mixed up.
That's awesome. When did you work in Reedsburg Radio? How long ago was that?
You know, time goes so fast.
I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit.
I don't remember when I started, but it was about 5 years that I was there. Had a devotional every morning.
I see.
So.
Okay. So you were affiliated with a church when you were in the Reedsburg area then?
No. Actually, I'm a pastor. I retired in 2003, and I've been kind of a circuit rider going around filling in for pastors when they aren't available. So that's what I've been doing. But I got involved with Rudy Rote, and I came across something that I thought is very appropriate. It says, we're not called to sit back and wait for revival. We are called to slip out in faith and labor for it. And that's what we're kind of hoping with this, that we'll get some revival going to celebrate Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Dairy commodity prices might be a little soft, but that is not dimming optimism in the dairy industry by processors. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We are seeing an explosion of dairy processing plants being built in the Northeast. Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, says, and dairy producers in that region are thrilled.
You know, we have a couple big plants growing in the Northeast, a Fairlife plant later this year. Chobani invested some big amount of money for expansion in the future there too. So I do expect that we're going to see milk production grow in spots like that. I know dairy producers that I talked to in New York are really excited about the new investment in the dairy processing industry in their state. Elsewhere, you know, we have had new cheese plants open up in Texas, Kansas, here over the past 6 months, some expansions elsewhere, that we are continuing to see dairy producers look to expand milk production, especially around those new plants.
Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg. Now, dairy yesterday was pretty quiet in Chicago. Barrel and block cheese were both unchanged. Double A butter down a penny at $2.53 a pound. What's happening on a Thursday morning in the marketplace? We've got those numbers next.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
All right, in current overnight activity, Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 40 points. Right now, we've got September corn up a penny, December new crop up a penny at 425. Soybeans for August are up 2, November new crop up to 1022. September wheat is down a penny at 540, December down a penny and a half at 560. Currently, the Class 3 milk for August that goes into cheese up 7 at 1753. September Class 3 milk currently up 9 at 1827 a hundredweight. So, just a quick snapshot on what's happening as far as the markets and the influence on the market so far for Thursday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Calmer today after a wet and stormy Wednesday. Increasing sunshine, cooler and less humid, a high of 73. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny on Friday, beautiful with a high of 76. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station.
and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, we're joined by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to discuss the recent lawsuit he filed with other attorneys general to help preserve and protect federal education funding. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Don't forget you can sign up for our newsletters, plural. Yes, we've got weekday newsletters. We've got a Sunday morning newsletter I put together all about Wisconsin politics. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com to learn more. Hit subscribe up in the top banner. We'd love to have you as a subscriber there and as a podcast as well. Head to Spotify and follow the show. All right, we've had a lot to say about the state budget, a lot of it about what's in it. A lot about what's not in it. You heard from Corrine Hendrickson in our last half hour that what's not in it is enough child care relief to keep her in business and probably a lot of other folks as well. There's something else not in the budget that caught a lot of people off guard, and that was help for homeless veterans. Seems like rather a slam dunk for Republican lawmakers who are all the time wrapping themselves in the flag, but took Governor Evers' request and turned it to $0 and never did anything else about it. Did they forget? Was it just out of partisan spite? Can this be fixed? Let's find out by checking in with State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire County town of Brunswick, where he joins us now. Senator Smith, good morning. How are you?
Thank you, Senator Kreitlow. It's good to see you today.
I love the fact that now that you're in the Senate instead of the Assembly, that you use the courtesy titles because you understand senitude. You know,
well, it's really actually very rare. But for you, I know how important it is.
Yeah, so very important. It's more important for me to be a captain of the pontoon than it is any other title here. Jeff, I don't know how to start on this because I can ask you all the background about how this got missed from the budget. But maybe we'd better start with explaining what it is that we're talking about here. What is the program or what was the program, you know, that was helping homeless veterans?
So it's the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program. I got a couple things here just to read that what their goal is to help veterans achieve stability, increase their skill levels and or income, and obtain greater self-determination to reintegrate back to the community. As we know, when veterans struggle with whatever they've been through, whether it be overseas or in battle or whatever, fatigue, we owe them whatever we can to help them reintegrate back into society and have a comfortable life just like anyone else.
And so what had the governor proposed? What had been going on, you know, up until this state budget?
Right. So we have three facilities in the state right now. I believe one is Mount Horeb. The others are Green Bay and Chippewa Falls. And in Chippewa Falls, actually, the facility actually is the largest they have 70% of the population of those three facilities are in Chippewa Falls. And that and Green Bay are the ones that will be closing because of the lack of oversight by the Republican Joint Finance Committee.
So the governor proposed how much to put in the state budget for this?
He proposed $1.9 million to be in the budget to keep those facilities going at full speed, and they zeroed that out like they did so many things. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be too harsh. Maybe they overlooked it. Maybe they didn't realize when they were just zeroing everything out that was going too. But we gave them an opportunity on the floor. I introduced an amendment on the floor to bring that amount back. But I still think that they were in this giddy, well, we're doing this to the governor and we're taking everything out. And I don't, they weren't really listening. I guess, I don't know. They totally dismissed that one.
But there was like one Republican senator who voted for your amendment to fund the homeless veterans.
And that's right. That's Andre Jacques, because it affected his district as well in Green Bay.
Okay. But every other Republican voted against it.
That's right.
And if there was, the reason I come at it like this is that, look, this is out of spite and for no other reason. This is why they zero out the things that Governor Evers proposes. And then they have come back in and either put a lower amount in, or they've reconfigured things. Like the child care funding is a classic example. They just did not want to put anything into child care counts because that was Governor Evers' baby. So they and the governor eventually agreed on some other funding mechanism, and they put the funding in there. It wouldn't seem like this needed that. So, it was either an oversight or it was just, I mean, they just blatantly did not feel like these homeless veterans deserved care anymore. Have you heard any kind of feedback firsthand, secondhand from your Republican colleagues? Or is this a big old oops and they're going to rush to support some kind of a trailer bill with funding?
Yeah, it's actually kind of pathetic. We have heard from our colleagues on the other side of the aisle that claiming that, well, you know, there was a 15% increase to the DVA, the Department of Veterans. And, you know, that was their 15% increase for the agency as a whole. That was not for that program. But that's what they're using as, well, we increased by 15%. And then one of the talking points that I heard was this was just part of a wish list by the governor. I think that is so pathetic and so embarrassing that they would consider what we want to do to help veterans as a wish list.
Well, and especially here's the thing that gives it away that's not true. When they say, oh, we put 15% overall in the budget. The record is clear that they live to micromanage, and they will get right down into the line items and say, you can do this, but you can't do that. We've seen it in the literacy programs and in so many other things. And it sure sounds rather convenient that they can say, well, in this instance, we actually didn't want to micromanage. We just gave you a big pile of money and you do whatever you want with it. Said no Republican ever in the budget process until this got caught.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, it's excuses, making excuses, that which I think is which is dumb, because in a sense they're saying, oh yeah, we knew about it, but we thought this 15% was going to cover it. That's basically what they're saying, instead of saying, oops, that 1.9 million was overshadowed by the negotiations that took place with our Senate leader, Dianne Hesselbein, and the governor's office, that brought back funding for our universities, brought back half the money we needed for our child care facilities, and brought back, or actually raised, the special education funding, which was desperately needed for our public schools. We didn't get everything we wanted, but we got that. But that all overshadowed 1.9 million that they seem to want to ignore now
and make excuses for, it seems. So you've alluded to this, the fact that they needed Democratic votes to pass a budget. And so there was this agreement made, but as no doubt you are hearing, well, you heard from the very beginning, some of your colleagues, you know, voted no, saying, look, there's not enough there. And now, of course, we're hearing pushback from the child care sector, from the education sector, from everything else. Now that you've looked at it all and you've taken in all of the reaction, looking at your minority status and what the governor is dealing with Republican leadership in the legislature, was this the best that could be hoped for when you have a bipartisan vote on a budget?
This was the best we could hope for. Just think about this. They came to us finally, kind of in the 11th hour, as we know, because with the Trump bill looming overhead that he was going to sign and remove any chance for us to capture $1 billion more in Medicaid funding, We were in a bind that which they put us in, the Republicans put us in, certainly, but with the chance to come to the table, because this is what they need to imagine. And I know, Pat, you can, that they were going to make it even worse to satisfy the worst of their caucus. There were five members of their caucus, which they often call the terrorists, were holding them hostage and saying they wanted even more cuts. They were going to cut $87 million from the university system already, which would have closed campuses. That was already in the works of closing campuses if that happened. They zeroed out child care. They were not going to increase special ed funding for public schools, even though they were paying 90% to voucher schools. All of those are the biggies that we came to the table with, along with more. We asked for more than that, but there was negotiations, as you know, and compromise in politics these days is rare, but it happened, and we got that compromise, and the deal was if we can get certain things and make this better instead of worse, we can find five votes in our Senate caucus and help you pass this bill. We made that arrangement, and the leader, Diane Hesselbein, and myself, assistant leader, were two of the five votes, and then we had to find three more. And I feel very confident that it was the right thing to do, because it would have been much, much worse if they would have had to go the other route and make it get all their Republican votes.
Coming back to the micromanaging that Republicans were doing in the last budget, it included $15 million to help the Chippewa Valley after two hospitals and several clinics closed abruptly. And yet the Joint Finance Committee refused to release the money, having a temper tantrum about some of Governor Evers' line item vetoes. Was that $15 million put into this new budget, or is it now gone forever?
That is like a puff of smoke, Pat. It's just gone. They refused. I was another amendment on the floor that I introduced to. I even lowered it to $10 million. I said, on the floor said, hey, I'm trying to negotiate right here on the floor with you, but we've got to have some help. And they just weren't interested. Every Republican chose not to support that.
State Senator Jeff Smith is with us from the Eau Claire County town of Brunswick. So with the state budget behind us, obviously, there's still a fall session. There'll be some in the spring as well next year before everybody goes back to campaign. What kind of priorities do you have when the legislature gets back in action?
Well, right now, the Klein Hall and the Green Bay facility have taken a high level of priority, because they will close at the end of September, apparently, if we don't get the funding. So I've introduced a bill as of yesterday to bring that money back and give us another chance to do the right thing. So hopefully that'll be pushed through fast. If we get, we're right now in the process of gathering sponsorships, and hopefully we get sponsorships on both sides of the aisle. So that is an immediate urgent issue right now. And we'll come back and hopefully be able to do something right away on that. Otherwise it's back to trying to make sure that we support our Chippewa Valley hospitals and medical facilities here. And also because of what happened in Washington, we're going to have real threats of other rural hospitals closing across the state. Now, as we warned after the Chippewa Valley crisis, that could happen. And so we all got to pull together on both sides of the aisle, all across the state, to ensure that people are able to access health care.
State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire town of Brunswick. Thank you, Jeff. Good to talk to you as always. Have a great day out there.
All right. Have a good one.
Yep. We'll catch you later. One quick note on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. A lot of new feature stories get put up there. One I want to tell you about, 10 Wisconsin breweries making a difference. Little breweries that start their own grant programs, host fundraising events. They place an emphasis on sustainability, reduce their carbon footprints, even giving to groups that help abandon pets and animal sanctuaries. Imagine drinking beer to do good works. 10 breweries that make a difference. Look for that on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. A local update next for some of you. The rest come back here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. We're all seeing the smoke, but what exactly is causing all the fires in Canada? Turns out the 5,000-year-old forest stretching across the country doesn't get as much snow cover in the spring as it used to, and is experiencing warmer, drier summers because of climate change, making wildfire season much more severe. Canada's boreal forest is the largest intact forest in the world. If you're in the market for new insulation, energy-efficient appliances, heating and cooling upgrades, now is definitely the time. The new mega budget signed into law earlier this month means federal incentives to help families save energy are about to go away. But Wisconsin's program still has federal funding available. Head to focusonenergy.com and click on IRA home energy rebates for more. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We talked to Bob McLean, worth hearing about his background, but a special upcoming event at Hillsborough Fireman's Park, our subject today. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the speakers? Do you have those listed, or some of the musicians that will be there?
Well, the musicians will be All For Him. It's a group that has performed for years over from Sparta area, and they're going to be presenting the music. And we will have people, different people speaking. Tom Hoheck is the former head of the Hillsborough Fire Department, and he's also a member of the Congregational Church there in Hillsborough. He's going to be speaking. And Spencer Budenhagen is a young man. He graduated from Reedsburg High School last year and was a valedictorian. But here he is, 18 years old. He is going into the ministry. As a matter of fact, he's studying at Indiana Wesleyan university right now to become a pastor, but he's going to be speaking. And then there's a fellow by the name of Jim Farley, who came from Hillsboro, and he was kind of a wanderer for many, many years, and he's coming to give his testimony of how he came back to Christ. And then at the end, Andy Johnson, who's the pastor of the Laval Advent Christian Church, is going to be speaking. So that's pretty much the program. A lot of music in between these speakers and everything, and just a good time.
It sounds to me that you have kind of all ages represented, too, with a young 18-year-old, and hopefully that will draw in some young people as well.
And there are five churches in the Hillsboro area that are supporting this program, so a lot of activity.
It's an ecumenical get-together,
ecumenical,
then?
Ecumenical, yes. It's non-denominational, just letting everyone who loves Jesus to come and celebrate, and if they don't know Jesus, to come and find out about him.
Right. And in terms of the event, it's at 7 o'clock at Hillsboro Park, Hillsboro Fireman's Park, July 25th. How long do you anticipate that it will go? How long will the program be?
The plan is for around 2 hours.
Okay.
Back in 23, when we had it up there at Burr Ridge, I think it went on for about 3 hours. Afterwards, people gathered around and just shared. So we don't know what might happen.
Right. You never know, do you? You know, no. Welcome to stay around. Will you have some refreshments for people that are there as well?
There will be water there for people.
Okay.
And I don't know for sure if there's going to be anything else. They may have one of these food trucks come in, for all I know.
Feed the masses.
Yeah.
Maybe some fishes and loaves or something.
Fishes and loaves, yeah.
If you need it. In terms of this, it's an important thing, I think, for the area. Everybody's invited from the area. Why do you think it's important to have a get-together like this, Bob?
Well, I think, first of all, Jesus Christ and his salvation is so important that we need to re-energize the believers, and if there are non-believers that come, to introduce them to Jesus and what he offers. We're very committed to Christ, and that's what we're doing, celebrating Jesus Christ.
If it goes well, is the plan to kind of keep this up on a regular basis as well?
We don't know. I go up there to the Fireman's Park, and I see where Slama has these big bleachers that will handle 1,000 people or more. And I'm thinking, maybe a few years down the line, we'll be out there and fill those bleachers.
Oh, you've got five churches involved,
yes.
You know, that people are going to get along for the cause, right?
They're the support. They're what are making it possible.
Right. Do you have sponsors that help out with this?
The committee, of course, supports this program, but I have to give praise to God for Rody Rote. He has really sponsored most of this. He does a very great job of organizing everything. But then somehow we see it done, and chairs are rented, and all kinds of facilities are provided, and he pretty much does it.
Could you see this happening in some other communities? People get an idea about
it. Well, this is personal for me, but I would love to see it happen. I believe that WRCO reaches out to quite a group of people in this southwest corner of the state. And WCNP out of Reedsburg reaches to Madison. So I think we're going to see something greater happen. When I first went into the ministry, I was assigned to a little church out in the country outside of Evansville. And we had a celebration for Pentecost.
Appreciate you coming in, Bob.
Well, thank you very much for this, and I appreciate WRCO allowing me to speak about this.
Not a problem. Bob Magleen joining us again, the celebration for Jesus through song, the word, and prayer. All are welcome to Hillsboro Fireman's Park, coming up July 25th at 7 o'clock.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Hendricks.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate has passed $9 billion in federal spending cuts requested by President Trump. The money will slash funding for international aid and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Democrats like Senator Chuck Schumer voting no.
This is a dark day for America, a dark day for rural Americans, a dark day for any American who relies on public broadcasting during floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and other disasters.
Republicans call it cutting out waste, fraud, and abuse. A lightning strike in New Jersey has killed an archery instructor. Two people died in flash flooding in New Jersey earlier this week. She was born in Jersey. Our singer Connie Francis has died, according to her friend and publicist Ron Roberts. Francis, known for hits like Who's Sorry Now and Pretty Little Baby, was 87. This is